Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 279, 2019 Best of Podcast Special. Guys, it's another year. Thanks for sticking through the past year with me. I hope you guys have enjoyed so far. I have a lot to go through. It's going to be a jam-packed show, and I'm going to go into bits and pieces of a lot of things. But first, before I do that, I have to go through what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 179, we entitled hashtag Nightwinging It. Okay, I can tell you exactly what happened this one. At Memory Beaner and at 4, the villain are joined with our boy at the Equipment Man, Sergio, where we play quick catch-up, talk about what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, what we've been up to, marathons, movies, and concerts. And how do you feel about mosh pits? Hashtag your opinion. Okay, then hit some quick. Okay, I love this episode. Look, I used to see a girl a while back, and we went to a concert, and it was our first concert together, and the band that was playing, there were a lot of skinheads, and hashtag your opinion, like, she got mad at me because she thought I ditched her the whole concert. That was not the case at all. Like, I went to grab beers for us or drinks for us, and every time I would walk back, I would have to go through a mosh pit. And every time I walked through a mosh pit, I came across trouble. And a lot of the trouble I saw were a bunch of skinheads and white supremacists wanting to, and I've heard people saying they wanted to fuck up some dude, some scrawnier little Hispanic kid, and this happened throughout, and I was looking out for homeboy, like, that's it. I didn't know at the time the girl I was seeing listened to the podcast, so on top of how she felt that night alone, she got extra pissed off hearing that podcast. And she's like, I can't believe you humiliated me twice like that. And I'm like, oh my God, look, I'm sorry. I'm very honest. I'm extremely honest. And even on the podcast, maybe I say too much. But if you still listen, and I highly doubt you do, just know it wasn't to make fun of you. Like, it was a story, and damn it, it was a beautiful story. Like, I would have loved to hear your point of view, but my point of view did not refrain from exactly the way I described it on. It was called Nightwing in it, guys. One of my favorite characters is Nightwing, and I felt like I had to work and help out to protect several people and girls in these mosh pits. And I don't deal with white supremacy or racism very well. So if I need to lash out, especially at a mosh pit, yeah, I'm going to fucking go at it with two giant white dudes that I probably should not be doing shit to. If you guys want to know the full story and why I felt bad and why I felt good and why I felt like I helped someone or protected someone, go back 100 episodes ago. Find episode 179, Nightwinging It. And let me know, hashtag your opinion, Josias was right, Josias was wrong. The week after that, I'll talk about that some other time, but I'm not seeing that girl anymore, obviously. But again, if you still listen, look, it's not to clown on you. Those are never my intentions to hurt anyone. That night was me completely helping out people. And I was hoping you would understand it, and you didn't. And I apologize. It was all my fault. I should have just been there for you and had a good time with you. All right. Find that episode, guys. I love the fuck out of it. All right, we hit just headlines. Wife killed husband after fight over burnt casserole. Kindergarten teacher put on leave for using Ouija board in class. How do you guys feel about all these? This is everything we spoke about 100 episodes ago. This all sounds cool to me now still. Thailand bear dies after falling from helicopter. Okay, minus that one. I love bears and animals. So it's always terrible that I can see the worst things happen to a human, but when something bad happens to an animal, that's when my heart just gets like, oh, so weepy. We then roll comic talk, comic news, Logan thoughts, and who hated it, along with box office numbers, Russell Crowe speculation for Cable and next Deadpool flick. We know that wasn't true, and Jeff Lemire news, and finally Rock Comic Reviews, Old Man Logan, number 9 through 14. I believe I started off Extremity number 1, Nightwing number 16. Of course, that was going to be me as well, most likely, especially feeling that vibe. And Savage Things number 1, which was Book of the Week. All right, guys, I have a lot to go through. I had the most downloaded podcast of the month. I put that out a few weeks ago. This is the end of the year podcast. This is my personal best of the movie, comics, games, everything I'm going to go through. I'm going to scratch games because it's not a gaming one. Just pop culture, guys. I'm going to premise this by saying a lot of things real quick. I don't have enough time to watch TV. I work too much and I have too much going on in my life, and the end of the year is a big, odd, weird crunch time for me, just like it is with all you guys. I'm going to put this out most likely, well, by the time you hear it, within Christmas Eve time, towards the end of the year. So when any of you guys have downtime to hear it, let me know your thoughts and opinions. And even if you agree with me, you're probably going to get upset by a lot of these things. But in my life, in my weird world, where I don't have a lot of time to do things, and family comes first, and the lady comes first, and her kids come first, her family comes first, and work is something I always have to do. And if I don't see any of people, any of my friends as much as I want to, it's cause, and my friends know they don't have to worry about me because I'm always up to something. I'm always working on something. This is what I've been working on the past year. This is all my work I've been putting into everything. So I'm going to close out by saying, do any of you guys, have any of you guys done anything this extensive where you take notes on what you've done throughout your year? To put out a list like this for anyone. I have a weird luxury, and yet it's still weird and oddly a lot of work. Like, I'm so glad this one I'm able to record and put out into the world, because I've been working on this all fucking year. This is a lot of fucking work. I'm kind of going crazy. But I literally just recorded episode 277 right now, and the Daredevil one. And yeah, so it's a long night for me, and I'm tired and beat up, but here we go. So for those of you guys that have anything to say, like, well, I disagree with you here, hit me up on the side. I'm at ForTheVillain on Twitter. I'm at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. Find the Comic Syndicate on Facebook. Follow us there. Give me your thoughts, your opinions, anything you would like. And subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. All right, guys. Are you guys ready for the list? Give me a few.
Two.
What's up, guys? This is Sholo Mighty Duena, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai.
This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk.
And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Woo!
Go. Two, one.
All right. The first place I'm going to start is for comics, movies, TV, best of the best. 2019. This is, again, my personal list. I'm going to start off with favorite shows of the year. Honorable mention is going to go to, and again, this is my list, guys. I don't have time to watch TV, so my list is going to differ than yours. Everyone's list is going to differ, but these are mine. Honorable mention is going to be The Man in the High Castle. Finally got to catch a few of those that everyone's been praising. Here's my top five. The fifth spot is going to go The Mandalorian. Granted, we're five by now, or about, what, eight episodes up by now. I'm foreseeing this in the future now, or in the past, depends on how you guys want to look at it. In the fourth place spot, a new show that I saw this year too, this is actually a new show, is Chernobyl took the fourth spot. It's a great show, but you just really need to be in the right headspace for it. the nuclear power plant in the Soviet Union that happened in the mid-80s, and the radiation leaks and the poisoning and how scientists and doctors had to deal with it and how their government had wanted to cover it up. It's a great show. I probably got through five. It's great. But again, to have the time to do it, it's like, do I feel like being depressed right now? Not really. Third place spot for favorite shows of the year. Deadly Class was on Sci-Fi before it was canceled. I was loving it, but I was reading the comic book. Number two spot is, yes, I know I'm going to be late to the party on this one, but fuck me, this is a great show. Everyone always told me, Josias, you're going to love this. You love dialogue. You love these things. Sherlock on the BBC. First, number one spot is going to be favorite show of the year, Cobra Kai Season 2. It was just a great show to go back into that world again and to get it, the Johnny aspect of it. I love it. All right, next one is going to be Shitty Movies of the Year. In the third place spot, I have none but an honorable mention. It's going to be Black Mirror Bandersnatch. Like, they did a great job, seriously, for the ambition behind it, but wow, the juice was just not worth the fucking squeeze on that. So I guess that would be number three. Number one, I put Glass. Like, I liked it, I think, but I liked it enough to add it to my Shitty Movie of the Year list as soon as I saw it. Question mark, like, just a weird movie. And you know what? That was the number one spot, but I want to flip-flop real quick. My number two Shitty Movie of the Year is now number one, and Glass is number two. The Joker. I'm flip-flopping just because everyone sucked this movie's dick, and it really wasn't as great as everyone says it is. Like, Joaquin Phoenix is going to possibly win Best Actor, and cinematography is great. The shots are gorgeous, but, like, were we watching the same fucking movie? Yeah, that's about it. So, Shitty Movie of the Year, Joker. Yes, hit me up anywhere you want. We're going to go through Movies of the Year now. Movies of the Year, I asked executive producer Victoria, or ex-executive producer. Movies of the Year, she gave me her top five list for movies. In her fifth place spot, John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum, took it. Her number four movie was Toy Story 4. Her third movie of the year was Spider-Man Far From Home. Her number two movie of the year was Captain Marvel. She loves Captain Marvel. And her number one movie of the year belonged to Avengers Endgame. I work at a second job. I do work at a second job. My second job is working at a movie theater, bar, barista, wherever they need me. I'm a utility man, like, wherever you need me. In saying that, I don't have a lot of time to watch movies. Like, I get movies for free, not opening weekend necessarily, but they can pull strings, and I can watch a movie a day if I wanted to. The thing is the time. I just don't have the time to do it. So watching Toy Story 4 for the nostalgia factor, Godzilla King of the Monsters, Zombieland 2, like, I'm going through this list of everything I've seen this year, literally writing them down. Spider-Man Far From Home, Detective Pikachu, like, Captain Marvel, John Wick 3, Chapter 3, Parabellum, and I'm looking at it like, they're movies, but they're not good movies. Like, they're not movie of the year candidates. And so I got to a few of these ones. Here, those were just honorable mentions because those are the movies I saw. My fifth place spot, movie of the year, is going to be Brightburn. Lars Klevberg is the director. It's a take on what happens if Superman is not raised morally or raised improperly, or maybe he just wants to destroy everything. It's worth checking out. Then the fourth place spot is going to be a movie I saw recently, The Peanut Butter Falcon. Tyler Nielsen is the director. Michael Schwartz is also the director. I believe they wrote and directed it. It's a Shia LaBeouf movie. It's a good movie. Now, these movies are going to be movies that make me feel something. I think a movie should make you feel something. Anything you read, anything you write should give you opinions and thoughts and make you feel something. Joker didn't make me feel anything besides upset or aggravated about how good it really wasn't. These next ones, number third spot for me, movies of the year, is going to be called Changeling. Seth Green is the writer and director. He also stars in it. Brecken Meyer also comes out in it, one of his friends in real life. This movie is so dope. It's about some guy that finds out that his wife is cheating on him. He booked a flight to a trip vacation to Thailand. But now, instead of taking his bitch wife that cheated on him, decides to meet up his best friend out there, Brecken Meyer, And it's a beautiful story on how to move on. Like, that's the best way I can put it. Breckenmeyer, as his best friend in this movie, is beautiful. And these are what my friends are like. My best friends are this strong. Where it's like, they're going to shoot it to you straight. They're not going to bullshit you. And Breckenmeyer is my favorite part of the movie. But the scenery, those shots are also gorgeous. And you know what? It probably didn't have the backup that Joker did, but this made it's my third favorite movie of the year. Number two spot is going to be movie of the year, Ford versus Ferrari. Rian Johnson is the director. Matt Damon and Christian Bale star. This is a fucking bro fucking flick. It's based on a true story and how Ford was going out of business and they needed to come up with a game plan to get more people buying their cars. And they enter, a race, the 24-hour race. Oh my gosh, the Le Mans. And it's a beautiful movie. And Christian Bale is gorgeous in it. The whole, I'm a simple man and I just want to work. And you keep getting fucked no matter how hard you try. You keep getting fucked. And Matt Damon is his friend. It's worth watching. If it's still out in the movie theater, guys, please watch it. Like, it's a beautiful fucking movie. And you get to see fast fucking cars and guys that are passionate about what they do is beautiful to me. Movie of the year, I literally saw Jesus past weekend. And granted, this is 12:11 as I'm recording this, is Avengers Endgame. I wanted to watch it a second time in the theater after the initial viewing. And I just wanted to watch it cinematically like that. 3 hours is a long time to watch any fucking movie. So I never got to. And I finally got to watch it at home the other day. And it fucking holds up beat for beat for as many characters are involved in that movie. Everyone has a story arc. Everyone's story arc is completed to a certain degree. And that ending is just still beautiful. And just beautiful, guys. So that's what I got for movies of the year. Next one is going to be Best Convention / Interviews of 2019. Fourth place spot is going to be Los Angeles Comic Con. My missed K-Rock DJ interviews with Klein and Stryker. Still loved it. I had a chance to interview them. It didn't work out, unfortunately. Number three spot is going to be San Diego Comic Con. The Batman Beyond 20th Anniversary cast interviews. That was a dope one. And I know it's all weird why they're all in this order, but that could have been number one to anyone. Next one's going to be number two spot. I love these guys, San Diego Comic Con. Impractical Jokers interviews. Like, that was fucking cool. That's my number two favorite. And my number one interview / convention, WonderCon 2019, the cast of Cobra Kai. I got to interview those cats, so that was pretty fucking dope and just loved it. All right. The next topics I'm going to go through real quick, there are a few titles that have, or topics, that have been canceled. So, Cover of the Year has been canceled, Panel of the Year has been canceled, Shitty Book of 2019 is canceled. It's not necessarily on this one, but more so I honestly didn't read a book, one book this year that I disliked. Like, I bailed on Doomsday Clock, and that barely ended, and even though I love Geoff Johns' writing, it was a rough get through, and that I bailed on a long time ago, so I really didn't bail on that. I've changed my writing style in a bit, so these panels and pages and keeping track of everything, like, I know I can do it, but doing it solo now is really hard to do. So this is the new list. I'm changing everything around. Next one is going to be Event of the Year. Next year, this is going to get dropped down into two different categories. It's still going to be Event of the Year. Second category, besides that, is going to be Best Limited Title. Honorable mention on this one is going to be King Thor, Jason Aaron, and Asad Ribic. That would be a limited title. That's why it's honorable mention, but it's gorgeous and beautiful and worth checking out. Number five, Event of the Year, is going to be War of the Realms, written by Jason Aaron. So he still made the list. Number four spot is going to be Batman Last Night on Earth, written by Scott Snyder, drawn by Greg Capullo. Those guys together are maniacs. Next one's going to be number three, Heroes in Crisis. Tom King, Clayman, Lee Weeks, Tom Murray are behind this, and it's pretty much what if superheroes need a sanctuary too, like the shit they see, the post-traumatic stress syndromes and disorders heroes go through on a day-to-day basis. They need someone to talk to as well. That was event of the year. Number two event of the year, House of X, Powers of X. Jonathan Hickman is the writer. To see the X-Men back in this weird way is dope to see, and to feel these misfits again is dope. Event of the year, number one spot is going to be Absolute Carnage. Donnie Cates and Ryan Stegman are behind that. All right, continuing on, we have Best New Comic of the Year. Honorable mentions, we have Undiscovered Country, written by Scott Snyder, and Charles Soule, with art by Giuseppe Camuncoli. Another honorable mention is going to be The Batman Who Laughs, written by Scott Snyder, artist is Jock. Number five spot now for Best New Comic of the Year, The Man Without Fear, written by Jed McKay, and Danilo S. Bayruth is the artist, with Andres Mossa as the inker. Best New Comic of the Year, Silver Surfer Black, written by Donnie Cates, art by Trad Moore. Number three, Best New Comic of the Year. I've been flip-flopping these for a while, guys. Number three, King Thor, Jason Aaron, art by Asad Ribbit. Number two spot for Best New Comic of the Year, Batman, Last Night on Earth, Scott Snyder, drawn by Greg Capullo. It's pretty much the last Batman story. And Scott Snyder's written so much of Batman and what we love about Batman. I'm going to go into that in a bit. Best New Comic of the Year, though. Number one spot is going to be Daredevil, written by Chip Zdarsky, and Mark Cicchetto is the artist. It's a great new comic, and they restarted it from number one, but it's a beautiful title. It's worth checking out. Next one's going to be Most Underrated Book of the Year. Honorable mention is going to be The Flash, written by Joshua Williamson and Carmine Di Gimenico. Sorry, Giandomenico. Menico. Wow, always butcher his name. Number five spot is going to be Justice League, written by Scott Snyder, art by Jim Chung. Now, if I never, or if you guys don't catch me reviewing these on air, there's so much I read in a week and a month and a year, guys, where it's hard to keep everything together or to talk about everything that's fluent or just I find stuff that I think people would be attracted to. And these are, you're going to hear some titles you guys haven't really heard me review yet, but trust me, I'm reading them. Number third spot for most underrated book of the year is going to be The Man Without Fear, written by Jed McKay. Danilo S. Bayruth is the artist. Andres Mossa is the inker. No one, Pop Culture Podcast is talking or was talking about that title. It's worth checking out, guys. It's like a 5-6 issue arc. It's easy to find, just The Man Without Fear. Number two spot for most underrated book of the year. I'm a huge fan of this character. Chip Zdarsky is an artist originally. Daredevil, his run right now, is underrated. I don't feel enough people are talking about it. And the art by Marco Cicchetto is gorgeous. Like, type in Mark Cicchetto and Daredevil, and or Matt Murdock is gorgeous to see. Like, with so many great writers that have been on Daredevil and that have written Daredevil before, Frank Miller, Brian Michael Bendis, Joe Quesada, Mark Waid, like those studs, he's kind of up there. Charles Soule, like, he's up there. Number two, most underrated book of the year, Daredevil. Number one, most underrated book of the year is honestly anything Star Wars from Marvel. Star Wars Target Vader, written by Robbie Thompson. Star Wars Vader and Vader Down, written by Charles Soule. Star Wars Vader Dark Visions. Star Wars, written by Jason Aaron. Any Star Wars title, guys, is completely underrated right now. If you guys love Star Wars, this is part of canon now. You're getting stories about these characters we all love, and you're getting more of an in-depth background on. And again, not any other podcast show is talking about these. So check them out, guys. They're fucking history. Those are completely underrated that no one is talking enough about. Next one is going to be Duo of the Year, Artist Writer. Now changed to Team of the Year. We changed that in 2018. Number five spot is going to be my boys, East of West, Jonathan Hickman and Nick Trigoda. Number four spot for Duo of the Year, House of X, Jonathan Hickman, Pepe Larraz, Marte Gracia. Just dope. Number three is going to have to be Duo Artist of the Year. And I should have put this in number five, honestly, as I see the list. Number three, Batman, written by Tom King. Art by Clayman, Tony Daniel, Mikhail Janine. Art by Clayman, Tony Daniel, Mikhail Janine, Jason Fabok, Lee Weeks, Tommy Moray. Just a revolving door of artists. Jordi Belair, he's had just on the colors, inks, everything that helps, everyone that helps him out. But because he's had so many artists on this title, it's kind of hard to put him, but Batman always falls in the middle, especially. It's beautiful. Number two, Duo Artist Writer of the Year, surprised me, Daredevil, Chip Zdarsky, Marco Cicchetto. Number two spot, Duo Artist Writer of the Year. Number one spot, Duo Artist Writer of the Year, Team of the Year. Number one goes to Venom, written by Donny Cates, art by Ryan Stegman, especially with the extra work they had to do with the Absolute Carnage. They're fucking killing it. They're giving Eddie Brock his voice, and he's got a fucking beautiful fucking voice. All right, what else we got? Okay, that's it. Most consistent book of the year. Honorable mention is going to be The Batman Who Laughs, Scott Snyder and Jock. Honorable mention, King Thor, Jason Aaron, Assad, remake, Ribic, but it is a limited series. Most consistent book of the year, in my opinion, number five, The Man Without Fear. Jed McKay, Daniel Bay-Ruth is the artist. Number fourth spot, Batman, Last Night on Earth, written by Scott Snyder, art by Greg Capullo. Number three spot, most consistent book of the year. Every time you pick up this title, you know it's going to be good. Daredevil, Chip Zdarsky, Mark Cicchetto. You guys are seeing the theme now. I'm going to throw you off in a little bit, though. Number two spot, most consistent book of the year is going to be Batman, written by Tom King, Clayman, Tony Daniel, Mikhail Janine, Jason Fabok. So many people helping him out art-wise. And he was supposed to write a 104-issue arc, and he had to cut it down. There's going to be a new writer starting, I believe, issue number 84, which is out already. So, yeah, I love Tom King as a writer. I'm going to follow that dude writing whatever he does. Number one, most consistent book of the year, I have to give it to Venom, written by Donny Cates, Ryan Stegman's the artist, J.P. Mayer's the inks, Frank Martin's the colorist. Just so dope to see consistently they're able to bring it to the table. All right, guys. These ones are going to be book of the year, single issues now. In the fifth place spot, East of West, number 42. Jonathan Hickman, Nick Trigoda, Frank Martin, Russ Wooten. This is how it ends, where it all began, as it starts off with the conversation between war and death. We'll finish this thing once for and for all. Just name the place. I'll be there. How does the Valley of the Gods sound? Can you pay the toll to walk that road, old man? You think I won't? I hope you do. It's perfect, really. The last time we left things so unfinished. And it's just a beautiful title and twisted now as East of West we see and get a replay now of scenes we never really got early on in the title. We know what happened, but we see what went down between Death and his siblings, War, Famine, and Conquest. The meanest entity or man on the planet, Death, just wanted to be happy. Finally find his absolution and redemption and even happiness. To a point. As the story page's narration goes on, where is my wife? Oh, that tasty bitch has slipped this mortal coil. You would think that after centuries of it, one would grow weary of the taste. But that's the real reason we cultivate them, isn't it? Because man is so very toothsome. As War throws him a bloodied bag, and we get visions of his time with her now. He's holding her severed arm in his hands now. There he is. I'm going to gun you down, but you ain't going to go quick, and you ain't going to go good. Really? Guns? You want to do this that way? Look how far you've fallen. Fair enough. We'll do this the old way then. As if no one wants to fuck with death, and his pistols are ready. He's using his skills as a shooter. Like, how can we make things harder for you? And yes, there's three of us against you. So as we see more of the onlookers now, we hear something we can't recall them mentioned before in the whole series. Only by their own hand or by an instrument of their making may a child of the apocalypse die. To kill one of them, you'll need a weapon made by someone or something other than man. As it goes back now to the scrap, as death just goes to work. There was a time when I feared you more than anything, but I see you now for what you are. And all that fear is gone. As Death says, yeah, take another look. As it's just a beautiful fight scene, and we see Death fighting for his love he lost. Trying to find his kid now. That's the whole thing behind this. He picks up a bullet and just snaps his fingers, and the way he shoots it is dope. It is dope and beautiful and gorgeous. Single issue of the year from him. Number four, book of the year is going to be number four spot. House of X, number three. Jonathan Hickman is the writer. Pepper Larraz is the artist. Marte Gracia is the inker. Just felt great to read the X-Men the way they should be. Cyclops leading the team. With these mutants, these X-Men, on a suicide mission. They don't care if they're not going to make it out alive. Like, these guys are ready to gun and go to fucking work and back each other up. The way the X-Men are, they are fucking family. Nightcrawler, Jean Grey, Cyclops, Wolverine. To see these cats work and to see the things they do, they have to give up for a mission to help each other out for the greater of mutants, is beautiful. As we see some deaths go down in this issue, but we still see the bond and love between Cyclops feeling bad for sending them out on a suicide mission. For Jean Grey knowing it was a suicide mission. For Wolverine and his friend Nightcrawler to have that conversation. Like, it's beautiful. And that's what it is. That's what the X-Men mean. That's what the X-Men stand for. Is fucking dope. Single issue book of the year number three is going to be Star Wars Vader Dark Visions, number one of five. Dennis Hopeless Hallam is the writer. Paolo Vinelli is the artist. Arif Prianto is the inker. Starts off with a young boy giving narration about this place, this planet he's on. And coming across an old withered book he found that he had read. All great societies are doomed to fall. As his narration continues on, he talks about now how all the people have moved underground. As we see workers, farmers tending the land. As he goes on and talks about how this place didn't fall, but how it was torn down and smashed up. So these books of the year mean something to me. Because the way they're written, the way the art is, the way things are portrayed in certain ways did something for me. So all of these have some sort of Josias mentality in them. And this is why they ring true to me and do stand out as single issue books of the year. He talks on about how this place didn't fall and how this place, how the space gods are the gods at war knocking around and how it's a bad omen. These are the last days of slumber. Hunt and scavenge now or we'll never survive the awakening. Besides, the god we have down here is far worse than whatever it is they're doing up there. As we get a dope splash page of a space battle between the rebels and the Empire, as we see Vader now in his ship, his TIE fighter, we see him take advantage and need to land on the planet for repairs, as opposed to fly back to the planet, though, or risk more battle damage, or even his death. We see him now lose a bit of control, entering the planet where this young boy notices that he's straight for this quote-unquote ender, which now causes a huge commotion on the planet, now forcing all of the people to now rush underground for their safety. As we see this kid given to curiosity instead of like his own safety. And the dialogue of what happens next is pretty dope. Then my patience, my stupidity, my death wish is rewarded. Out of those heavenly flames steps the Black Knight. Cloak blowing in the breeze, firelight dancing, armor waiting, Jin the still silence for what he knows will be a great battle, waiting for the ender beneath his feet to open its horrible golden eye and wake up. As we see this giant creature rise from the ground, perched atop our monstrous god's giant head, the Black Knight lifts his magical flaming sword, drops to a knee, and buries it deep. As he goes on about when she first showed up, the Ender, she is able to wipe out whole armies in a day, along with warships. So just beautiful pages and panels throughout this whole title that this kid is now just enthralled over this, what he sees as this Black Knight, as a hero, as a savior. And just like that, the battle is over. The newfound hero, until it's finally able to fight Vader back, the battle is over. The brave Black Knight crumbles like so many of our cities before him, his armored corpse now a monster's plaything, as he and his lightsaber go down, as we're able to see how big this creature really is. And then we still Vader, still fighting back, although he is getting his ass kicked. As we get some sort of disappointment now from the kid, I put my faith in the Black Knight's hands, and he lost. As we this kid now in danger, about to get killed by this creature, this Ender. And then we get this really dope, sick panel of Vader now, on a force-controlled beast of a horse. And he looks like this fucking Black Knight now. The Black Knight's strange magic yanks me through the air, out of harm's way, or perhaps out of his. But it is his flaming blade that regains the Ender's attention and starts their battle anew. And it's really cool just to see the way this kid looks at Vader. Definitely check it out. Black Knight is beautiful, dude. The Black Knight steps, our impossible savior who fell from the sky, fell to God, and set an entire planet free, standing right in front of me, magic fire sword flickering. This is my hero, my savior. Why does my every hair stand on end? So just a beautiful story to me. Next one is going to be Book of the Year, number 2, Venom number 10. Donnie Cates is the writer, Ryan Stegman is the artist, J.P. Mayer, Frank Martin are the colors, inkers. Starts off with Eddie Brock with a young boy now from prior issue. If you guys have been listening, Dylan, recounting the events of his past month, where his attention quickly now goes to Dylan, as we see how jacked up he is, prior issue, and we get this admiration from this kid, for Venom, for Eddie somewhat, but from this kid, Dylan, and again, this art from Ryan Stegman just has gotten so much more beautiful and refined throughout the years, and as he does it more and more, it's just gorgeous to see. The way he draws Eddie, the expressions on everyone's face. Dylan, the hulked up pit bull dog symbiote, is rad to see on paper. So just this story, we see a quick encounter with a waiter and Eddie, where Eddie tells him about his post-traumatic stress disorder, which leads now to a quick conversation between Eddie and Dylan about not lying about being in the service. So now wanting to change subjects, Eddie finally asks Dylan, now wanting to kill his father, like, why do you feel this way? Dylan now asks in return why their dad hates, why does he hate you so much, Eddie? And for Eddie Brock to break down, Ryan Stegman gets his chance to draw this scene once again, but more in depth. So the prior issue, this is Venom number 10. So Eddie is able to talk or tell Dylan about his accident, where it looks like where all the hate stems from that his dad has for him. I should have been paying attention. I should have reacted. But by the time I saw what was happening, it was too late. I still hear our father in the distance screaming. I see it play out every time I close my eyes. It's mostly clips, like a slideshow. Blood, metal, screaming. I can still feel the weight of it wrapped around me. As his pages are just again so fucked up to see, as Eddie continues, can still taste the booze on my breath. The night I became a monster. It's really cool to see Dylan reach out, but the symbiote wanting nothing to do with it. Like, I don't like you, no. And we get another odd turn that I wasn't expecting in this title at all. And this is early on in the year. So what happened? What do you think happened as Eddie continues on? I was young, white, and the son of a rich and powerful man in the community. Man, before we go any further, Eddie, how do you intend to plead tomorrow? Guilty. As we see a young Eddie completely sad now. Carl, that's going to be tough to work with. Eddie, rethink that, the man says. Eddie responds, Dad, I killed someone. I killed an innocent child. I deserve to be, as his dad asks for privacy now and tells Eddie to plead not guilty. And I really love this. The fact that they're writing Eddie Brock like this, where he wants to man up and we see what his home life looked like. But Dad, I am guilty. I killed. Dad interrupts. Do you have any idea what this will do to me? I will not have this. You will not plead guilty. You are innocent. No, I deserve to be punished. And we see what happens next is just really intense, sad, and emotional to see. And even fucked up, as his dad cares more about his reputation and he's literally beating up on Eddie Brock. So it's beautiful. We see the epilogue of the story, and there's been something said by the Venom character throughout the years. Didn't necessarily start off strong, but became a thing. So Venom, lethal protector. So yeah, you want to know where the protecting the innocence thing came from? That'd be it. Innocence. Real innocence. Someone has to protect them from people like me. They finally end the night. It's just beautiful. So that one stood out to me. Yeah, Venom number 10 in the number 2 spot. This is going to be my book of the year. This is one title I know I definitely did not review. I haven't reviewed a lot of Tom King's work prior or anything really much this year, because this series took a lot of fucking turns. But this is one that stands out to me, and it's beautiful to me. Batman, number 50. Tom King and every artist, it seems like DC has in their arsenal, was on board to help out with an extended story and just more pages. It was a double-sized anniversary issue. Tom King is the writer. The wedding. Batman says, we met on a boat. You called yourself Cat. You were stealing jewelry, dressed as an old woman. You were so good. You had a plan. You executed it. But there was a hesitation to you, an empathy for the victim. It slowed you, and because it slowed you, I stopped you. Another crime foiled. Another cowardly and suspicious criminal caught. Another normal, forgettable day as Batman. Then I saw your eyes. Catwoman, we met on the street. You were playing hero, trying to save Holly. Really, trying to save everyone. Striking out with power, but without finesse or grace. A bat in flight, screaming, hoping the scare is enough. You were making a damn fool of yourself. I jumped in, tried to stop you from hurting anyone, from getting hurt. And we fought. And you were another man asserting your will, trying to lord over a world you didn't understand. I'd known 1,000 like you. I'd know 1,000 more. But then I saw your eyes. As the dialogue and monologue just continues to shoot off for both throughout the whole story now. As we get so many different takes and renditions of the Batman and Catwoman scenes and pages and relationship throughout the years. Represented by so many great artists of Batman's history. So everyone, Greg Capullo, Tim Sale, Lee Weeks, Jordy Beller, like everyone's on here. Is dope to see Frank Miller's in here, like every artist, and everyone's using Tom King's script. So it's really beautiful. Again, so much has happened with Batman and their history. A lot of these made me feel good. This one was one of them I needed at the time. As the story now breaks down into both their nights, now preparing for their wedding. He's like, beginning of the title, let's just do it tonight. No, that's not where I'm getting at, guys. It's just something happens in here that's beautiful. So Selina goes with Holly, and Bruce goes with Alfred. And it's, we see them get some sort of introspection, both of them, some personal reflection. Holly says, it's insanity, isn't it? Selina, you know, we've known him from the beginning. I can't believe he's like this. He's never been like this. Catwoman says, like what? Holly answers, happy. He always seemed to need his misery, you know? Like it was how he did what he did. Selina, what? As both of them now continue on getting dressed. Two of the nines just getting dolled up for one another. So, both of them. Just beautiful art with some more wonderful dialogue. Holly asks, is everything all right? As Selina answers, I wrote him a letter, but I didn't finish it. I haven't written to him since Arkham, when we confessed. There was so much I needed to tell him, it's hard to say it. We're always so tired. When we're not tired, we're out there. Holly? Am I a hero? Of course, Selina. Right? I mean, after all that's happened, don't you have to be? As we see Bruce Wayne now with Alfred, and it's just beautiful to see their interaction. Alfred, we're almost there, sir. Is everything all right? I wrote her a letter. We never have time anymore. I wanted to tell her everything. Alfred, can I be happy? Alfred, Master Bruce, after all you've done, all you've endured, suffered, to go on another day, don't you have to be? And this is beautiful to me. We get Catwoman's letter. And the way this comic goes is beautiful to read, guys. Like, if you get your hands on it, pick it up. Buy it online or let me know, and it's beautiful. Catwoman's letter. You are still a child, Bruce. A hurt child. These past months, the desert, the boy, Superman, Wonder Woman, Ivy. But what you do with that hurt? I saw the hero it made you. And then, and as if to prove what I saw, Booster, a world in horror because you're content. Joker known if you were settled, you couldn't stop him. You are an engine that turns pain into hope. If we're happy, and we could be so happy, if I help that lonely boy, with those lonely eyes, I kill that engine. I kill Batman. I kill the person who saves everyone. And how can I do that? How can I love you so much and look in your eyes, into that endless blue, that gorgeous blue that calls me, knowing. To save the world, heroes make sacrifices. That's a lesson of every story. I wish I could give my life, but I can't. I have to give more. My sacrifice is my love. It's you. As both letters end, and the pages, panels are dope and beautiful to see. Love always. With all my love. Bat. Cat. It was a beautiful story to me. She gave up being happy so he can do his job. She felt, and even he felt. This story got a lot of attention because everyone thought it was just a cash grab. Like, oh, he's going to marry them off so he can get numbers for and sales for the comic. But it wasn't that at all. It was a love story that this is a side of Bruce Wayne. This is a side of Batman we haven't seen before. Maybe it's okay for him to be happy. It's something I needed at the time where it's like, you know what? Fuck me. I've been at this for so long. Maybe I deserve to be happy type of deal. I'm not the guy I was a long time ago, thank God. But yeah, I'm happy with who I am right now. And that's everything I do. So everyone that's been here for with me from the get-go, everyone that's been jumping on board, hopefully this episode wasn't too long or too boring. This is just a reflection of the past year. And I'm going to be more in depth next year. I know what I have to do, more interviews and more work and work on the other podcasts. So deep dives and rabbit holes is going to happen. And the Auto Chronicles is going to happen. Like, I'm already lining stuff up for next year. But I just need to round about and complete this year. I can see the end of the tunnel without a microscope, dude. So, or a telescope. So I'm good to go. All right, guys. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcast. Have a great, safe, Merry Christmas. Have a great and safe Happy New Year. I will definitely catch you guys next year. Peace out.